Hey, church home, happy Wednesday, happy midweek service and midweek gathering. If this is your first time, welcome. My name is Judah. I'm married to Chelsea, my wife of 20 years. We have three kids, 16, 13, and 11. That's wild to say that out loud. Two boys and a little girl. We get to be the lead pastors here at our community we call Church Home. Welcome. This is an opportunity and a moment to share the story of Jesus. We do this on Wednesdays and Sundays where we talk about Jesus, talk about his goodness, his grace, his love. And I'm really excited to get started. Now, you're going to find out real quick. We are a Jesus church. I'm a Jesus guy. I believe Jesus is the hope of the world. I believe Jesus is the answer and antidote to racism in the world. And so you're going to hear that come out of my life and my heart. I'm literally in my home office. This is my den. So we are church home, from my home to your home. We have literally hundreds of homes hosting a few friends and practicing their faith just like this. So welcome to church home, church at home, church that functions like a home. We are passionate about people truly connecting and forging, building lifelong relationships, of course, with God, but also with each other. So welcome. And by the way, please note, as soon as the talk is done, we have a digital meetup where you can jump in, get involved. And if you haven't checked out our app, you can download it. Everything is for free. And on there is Pastor Chat. The digital meetup is also on the app, but Pastor Chat at the Church Home app, 1H. We have team members and staff standing by 24/7 now, ready to talk with you, pray with you, cry with you, laugh with you, be there for you to ensure that you are seen, heard, loved, and cared for. Welcome to church home. I'm excited on this Wednesday to share with you a message entitled Jesus on Security. What does Jesus have to say or demonstrate to you and me on the subject of security? I'm going to read from John's gospel. It is the account of the crucifixion of Jesus, just a portion of that story. And it says this in John chapter 19 and verse 23. Here we go. Now, when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they divided up his clothes into four shares, one for each of them. But his tunic was seamless, woven from the top to the bottom as a single garment. So the soldiers said to each other, "Don't tear it. Let's throw dice to see who gets it, see who gets to have this extraordinary, very valuable garment." The soldiers did all this, not knowing that they had fulfilled scripture. This actually was a prophecy about Jesus thousands of years before. "They divided my garments among them and gambled for my garment." That's the prophecy. Now, here's the portion of scripture I want us to focus on. Mary, Jesus' mother, was standing next to his cross along with Mary's sister and Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So we got three Marys and another lady, three Marys. So when Jesus looked down and saw the disciple he loved, which was John the beloved, he saw the disciple he loved standing with her, that is his mother. And so Jesus says this from the cross, while hanging from the cross, "Mother, look, John. John will be a son to you." Then he said to John, "John, look, she'll be a mother to you." From that day on, John accepted Mary into his home as one of his own family. Jesus on security. Will you join me in prayer? God, we dedicate the few minutes and moments we have together on this Wednesday. We ask that you would meet us, encounter us, and show us who you are in dimensions and depths and ways that we have not seen to this point. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I say amen three times because growing up in church, I always heard preachers say amen, amen, amen. That's all I heard preachers do. So I still do it. Amen, amen. It's like, all right, Judah, we get it. Amen, amen, amen. Have you ever heard a person ever say in the history of the world, "I want to be insecure. I just want to be an insecure person. That's what I want to be. I want to grow into my insecurity. I want to develop my insecurity. I want to become so insecure that at a moment's greeting, every family, friend, or perfect stranger that I meet can tell I'm insecure. I want to be the most insecure person alive today. Said no one ever, quite possibly in human history, right? I mean, I've never met the person, I've never had a conversation, I'll say from my experience, where a person literally said, I am aspiring and desiring and pursuing insecurity. No, it's the opposite. We don't want to be insecure. We actually want to be secure. You could argue that security is one of the essentials of the human existence. We all need a level of security. I talk about this and have, but I'll do it again. The deadbolt on my front door. It's slightly comical, if we're honest. Is it going to actually deter someone that is really determined to get into my home? Probably not. But that deadbolt, that lock, gives me security. So when I lay down at night, and there are random moments, Chelsea will still, and she has no problem with being afraid. That's more me. I'm the person who's afraid of the dark. I'm the person that hears a noise, and I'm like, babe, go check, please. Did you hear that? Go. Like I said, Chelsea. That's not just a joke. That's actually happened. But Chelsea will ask me periodically, like I was saying, she'll say, you know, babe, did you lock all the doors? Did you lock all the doors? And that's just part of my job and the family is I just check all the doors at night. And the reason for that is, well, we want to feel secure. You could say, well, it's a deterrent to this. Yeah, or it's not. There's a lot of ways people can break into our homes, but it gives us a sense of security. We crave security. Think about your relationships. Think about your friends. Think about your family members. Think about the people you enjoy being around the most. And I would wager that I'm a gambling man, but I would wager that almost all of those people you have an affinity for and you love and you like and you are endeared to are secure people. Secure people are attractive people. They're confident people. Secure people are people who make other people feel safe and secure. One of the things over the course of like 11 years of being a youth pastor and meeting with countless young men, countless high school guys, countless college guys, countless junior high guys, right? And my urging to them was, yeah, brush your teeth, comb your hair, hygiene's important, you know, exercise, sure, all those things. But I am telling you, gentlemen, the most attractive thing to a woman is a secure man. True security. One of the things we don't talk about a lot in relationship to Jesus is his security. His security is, well, it's number one. He is the most secure person. He's the number one ranked most secure person in the world who has ever touched foot on this planet. He is so secure that when he is mocked or when he is worshiped, he is the same. He is secure. When the crowds love him and when the crowds turn on him, he is secure. When his own family questions his divinity and his validity, he remains secure. When one of his 12 closest friends betrays him, walks away from him, and well, uses him, he is the same. When his friend, one of his best friends, Lazarus, dies, he is grieved, but he remains secure and confident. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? that you can be grieving, you can be reeling in pain, and yet there can still be a confidence and a security. Well, the truth is, we all want to be secure. It's the exact opposite of how I started this sermon. We all, and I know you're hoping, and I'm certainly hoping, like, I hope this sermon gets into how. How can I be more secure? I want to be a secure person. One of the dynamics that we are experiencing right now as Black lives are being amplified and the oppression and systematic racism that has existed in this country for more than four centuries. One of the dynamics we're experiencing is that other people who are not Black, who are not African American, seem to feel like somehow their life or their existence or their place on this planet or in this country is somehow lessened or taken away from. Simply put, we're dealing with insecurity. We're dealing with profound insecurity. One of the ways insecurity surfaces is when somebody else is in the spotlight, when somebody else gets the attention, when somebody else gets the support, when somebody else gets the love, when somebody else gets the praise and the adulation. Do we feel less? Or is there a thrill in our heart that others too are receiving love, care, concern, protection? Of course, that's Jesus. You'll notice in his life and ministry, his 3.5-year public ministry, there is extraordinary confidence and assurance and security that allows him to be the greatest servant of all while simultaneously being the maker, creator, designer, king, lord, ruler of the universes known and unknown. Isn't that incredible? Oh man, on this Wednesday, I am in love with Jesus. I am mesmerized by Jesus. I am overwhelmed by Jesus. Why? Why is Jesus so secure? How is he so secure? Well, over and over, we read that Jesus, he knows who he is, right? You have the confession of Jesus. It's very overt. He doesn't mince words. He knows exactly what he's saying. In fact, just a few moments before the scene we are reading, just hours before, Roman soldiers meet him in a garden where some of his disciples are with him, and they say, "We are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. We're here to arrest Jesus of Nazareth. We're here to take captive Jesus of Nazareth. We're here to put in chains Jesus of Nazareth. We're going to put in prison Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus steps up and says, "I am he." He knows who he is, even in the face of pain, even in the face of his enemies. He knows who he is. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me." Jesus knows he's God. Jesus knows he's King. Jesus knows he's Savior. Jesus knows he is servant. Jesus knows he is deliverer. Jesus knows he is the restorer. Jesus knows he is the fulfiller and the fulfillment. Jesus knows he's the superhero of the world that we've all been looking for. Jesus knows who he is. How refreshing it is to interact or come across a man or a woman who knows who they are. You know who you are. Going on past that, as I unlock my phone to see more of my notes, not only does he know who he is, he knows why he is. He knows why he is. He knows why he was put on the planet at the time he was. He knows why he is alive. He knows why he is walking through the streets of Jerusalem. He knows why he was born in Bethlehem. He knows why he spends time in Nazareth. He knows why he's in Jerusalem. He knows why he exists in relationship to Rome and its tyrannical leadership. He knows why. He knows not only his person, but he knows his purpose. He knows his purpose. And lastly, he knows where he is. He understands the timing of his arrival. He understands the timing of him putting skin and bone on and moving into the neighborhood, as one translation says. He knows his placement. So let's just review just for a moment. Jesus knows his person. Jesus knows his purpose. And Jesus knows his placement. Now, placement is an interesting observation I think can serve you and I very well in these unusual days and times, unprecedented and historical days, not only in this nation, but the nations of the world. Placement. I want you to think about that for a moment. Did you know that your placement on this planet is not an accident? Did you know the language you speak, your native tongue, is not an accident? Do you know the color of your skin is not an accident? Do you know the region of the world you were born in was not an accident? Do you know that that person who raised you, whether it be a mom or a dad or both, or a legal guardian or an uncle or an aunt, God knew, God hardwired you and put in you what you would need for the time and the place you would arrive on this planet? And I'm not saying that it was God's plan for any one of us to experience broken families or broken leadership, but do you know God knew that that would be a part of your journey, and he placed in you the fortitude and the strength and the confidence to live where and when you live. That'll give you some confidence. That'll give you some security. But time and time again, we see that Jesus knows his timing. He knows his placement. He knows why he is here or there, when he is there, and where he is there. Do you? Do I? So many people are making jokes now about 2020. So many people are saying how painful and difficult 2020 is. I've seen the memes. You've seen the memes. We've heard the fodder online. 2020 is the most painful, difficult, challenging, yet historic year in the history of the modern world, in the history of our existence. Oh, 2020 surprised me. 2020 surprised you. But 2020 did not surprise God. It didn't surprise God. And the life and ministry of Jesus was not a surprise. It was designed. It was purposeful. There was intention. And Jesus had a confidence and an assurance. He knew his person. He knew his purpose. He knew his placement. And if you look at Jesus, even while he hangs on the cross, and this is where I conclude, look at the security, not of Jesus as he walks through the streets and heals the broken, the sick, the lame, the blind. No. Yes, he's secure there, but I want us to watch his security while he is sacrificing his life for you and for me. This God-man is so secure that towards the end of the 6 hours, he has been hanging on the cross, completely naked, completely humiliated, completely exposed, mocked at, spat at, jeered at, laughed at, made a joke of. An actual form of entertainment was the crucifixion of Jesus for so many. And yet Jesus, instead of reacting, instead of retaliating, his confidence, and his security can be seen even while he hangs on a cross. You could argue Jesus assumes the most insecure posture and position in history. Mocked, flogged, ridiculed, pierced, poked. A fake crown put on his head with thorns that were multiple inches that would have dug into the deepest part of his skull and made its way even to affect his brain. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his hands. They pierced him in his feet. And all while they did that, they made fun of him. They put a sign over him that said, "This is the King of the Jews." That was supposed to be a joke. And yet it wasn't. Everything that could bring about insecurity in any one of us was placed upon Jesus. And yet he was secure. What does Jesus have to show us on the subject of security? You know, it's amazing, while they hung on the cross, he listened to his enemies. He listened to those who put him to the cross, nailed him to the cross. But he did not rebuttal. And yet he had the right to. He suffered insecurity. He suffered with security. He understood what he was doing. Earlier, he said, "No man takes my life. I lay it down." Jesus is the consummate secure person. He's so secure, he literally starts to talk to those around him. He's so secure, he wants to make the criminals who hang on each cross on his left and his right, he has time to help them. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. He is so secure in his agony and excruciating pain beyond that which most of us could even imagine. Jesus is taking care of those around the cross. He is taking care of people around his cross. He makes no distinction towards those around the cross, of those who are deserving of his attention and his care, and those who are not. He makes no distinction. But what I'm blown away by as we conclude is that he talks to one of his closest friends, John, his cousin, and he talks to his mom. Again, this is after almost 6 hours, and his lungs are filling with blood. It's very painful to talk. But Jesus is so secure. He wants to make those around his cross secure. I want you to think about the practicality of this for a moment, because I hope this once again just adds to the depth and dimension of the beauty and majesty of our King Jesus. If it's getting close to the sixth hour, which we believe it is, because later in John 19, Jesus, in fact, just a few verses later, he will have fulfilled his mission. He will ask for a sponge of sour, expired wine that will taste horrific, and that will fulfill prophecy. And then he will say, "It is finished," for my bride. And the 6 hours of his crucifixion will come to a conclusion. But right before that, he makes sure his mom is secure. See, what you may not know and what I don't know is that his mom, Mary, has a long journey back to Nazareth. It's going to take some time to get back to Nazareth. And before he passes, Jesus wants to make others feel secure and cared for. Think about that. Think about that kind of not only love and empathy and compassion, but think about that kind of security. It's astounding to me. You know what else astounds me about his security? I mean, you know, I'm the person, just so you know, like I'm the guy who's like, oh, that shirt's cheesy. And I'm like, your shirt's dumb. Or I'll see someone in life and they'll make a funny comment to me and I'll come home and tell Chelsea or tell my kids, you know, but tell Chelsea, like, this person, they disrespected me and, you know, they're annoying. And are you like me? I think I'm secure, but my insecurity tells on me. In the smallest and pointless moments, I want to defend me. I want to protect me. What about me? Jesus is the opposite. He is being crushed at the cross and through the agonizing torture of crucifixion. He not only is making sure family and friends are secure, but he's making sure you and I are secure. Do you know what's on the mind of this secure king? Forgiveness. There's another part while he hangs on the cross. He literally says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I crave this kind of security. I crave it. I watch it. I listen to it. I read it. And I crave it. I want to be secure like that. I want to be a secure man. I want to be a secure husband. I want to be a secure father. I want to be a secure friend. I want to be a secure leader. I want to be a secure preacher. I want to be a secure American. I'm a citizen of this country and I want to be a secure. I want to be a secure stranger. I want my security to comfort even people I don't know, but I come across. I want to be a confident man. I want to have a confident, content ease about me that puts others at ease. I want people in the rest of my life to ask me what gives me such confidence and security, and I want to tell them it's Jesus. So if you're like me as we conclude, how can I experience that kind of security? Maybe you've never seen this before, but I'm going to end right here. Right before we see, frankly, a scene that is hard to even put into words and explain. I don't know how Jesus mustered the strength even in his frame and his frail body, which was lacking oxygen at an astronomical level, and the agony it must have been even to say to his mother, John will take care of you, and John, my mother, will be like a mom to you. So on the road back to Nazareth, protect her, care for her, supply for her. Do you know what that would have taken physically for Jesus even to utter those words? How can I ever aspire to that kind of confidence and that kind of security, to actually, like we just talked about, to have the identity and the security and the confidence? How is that possible? Can anyone attain that? Can anyone even aspire to that, let alone attain that? And here's the answer. And it's going to come in a form we can easily miss. It's a metaphor. It's a portrait. It's a picture. But it says right before the scene of Jesus speaking to his mother and John, it says the soldiers crucified Jesus. We read this a few minutes ago. They divided up his clothes into four shares. Four is the number of the world and the earth. That to me is a picture of how the story of Jesus and the message of Jesus is going to go and cover the earth, all four corners, all four corners. But that's not my main point. Later in verse 23, it says, but his tunic was, please hear me, seamless and woven from top to bottom. Seamless and woven from top to bottom. I end with this. His garment is a picture of his righteousness. That is his divineness as well. There is in the temple, which we've talked about, in this exact moment, as these soldiers are so overwhelmed at the quality of the clothes that Jesus wears, this garment that is seamless, woven from top to bottom, at that same moment, there is a curtain in the temple that is made the same way. And that curtain separates the outer court and the inner court, the most holy place. And inside that curtain at the church, the temple, while Jesus is hanging on the cross, the soldiers are gambling at the foot of the cross for a seamless garment sewn from top to bottom. There is a curtain in the temple that is sewn seamless top to bottom. And that curtain is to keep everyone undeserving out of the immediate presence of God. When Jesus finally dies and says, "It is finished," not only is his cloak already been given to one of the soldiers who won the dice game, but the Bible records that the curtain in the temple, it tore. But its tear was not from the bottom. No man tore the curtain in the temple. It was torn by God himself. And it was torn from top to bottom. Here's the message of security and confidence and belonging and identity to all of the world. What Jesus was doing is he was making a way through his righteousness for human mankind to forever have access to God. And so his tunic, just like the temple curtain, was given. And because his righteousness is given, his righteousness cannot be earned. As one of the soldiers, the luck of the draw was given his seamless garment sewn top to bottom. So now all of mankind can receive his righteousness. What is righteousness? It is a right standing with God. Jesus is God. Therefore, he is right. He is righteous. Righteous means consistent. It means holy. It means perfect. And the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory standard. And it is sin that makes us insecure. It is sin that gives us the sinking sensation. We are insufficient. We are not enough. We don't measure up. We're not good. We're not smart enough. We're not good looking enough. We're not sharp enough. We're not fast enough. We're not talented enough. We're not gifted enough. That is the result of sin. Sin brings insecurity. When Adam and Eve first sinned, immediately the Bible says their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. They were exposed. They were insecure. They were humiliated. So when Jesus comes to the cross, he is naked. He is taking what affected Adam and Eve and all of us, our exposure, our humiliation, our sin has led us to think only about ourselves because we know we don't measure up and we're not enough. And here I am yelling in my den in this iPhone, trying to show you and remind me that it's righteousness gifted to us, given to us. It cannot be earned, but it's given to us. And when it's given to us, the same confidence Jesus has, the same security Jesus has, I can have. The temple curtain, which was thick and it kept people unworthy out, and only the rare elite priest, the high priest, could go in his presence. That whole system is over. It's no longer the best, the brightest, the sharpest. Now it's whosoever. Who? whosoever believes in Jesus can receive his righteousness. I want you to see that soldier at the foot of the cross, as they are four soldiers, as they're throwing dice, and as he got the high score, he receives the robe. You can't earn it or deserve it. You receive the righteousness of Jesus, and that's what gives you the identity and the value and the dignity and the security that each and every one of us crave. That's what we need. And because of that gifted righteousness, we now have access to God. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor to go to God for you. You go to God now for yourself. His tunic was seamless, woven from top to bottom. Speaking, of course, of his divinity, he came from top to bottom. The curtain was ripped top to bottom. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. His righteousness is available to all. And his righteousness is what will give us our identity, our security, our validity. His righteousness tells us who we are. His righteousness tells us our purpose in life. And his righteousness reminds us that our placement is divine. And God has put us in 2020 because what he put in us through the gift of righteousness is everything we will need in this life. Don't you give up now. Don't you give up. Are you battling insecurity? Are you battling anxiety? Are you battling trying to find self-worth, self-respect, a sense of belonging? Take the robe. Take the robe. Take the robe of righteousness. It's yours. It's a free gift. And it comes upon you. And the Bible says we are hidden in Christ, a new creation. Wow. That's where security comes from. We've said a lot, but I trust that Jesus himself will help translate and apply for you all that we've talked about. Can I pray for you? Jesus, I thank you. I thank you so much for these minutes and moments we share as a community. Oh God, may the robe of righteousness be seen and received and accepted through all that you have completed and established through your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here watching wherever you are in the world and you would like to receive the free gift of righteousness, the free gift of forgiveness, all your error, wrong, and sin forgiven forever. All it takes is one moment of receptivity. If you want to receive the free gift of forgiveness and righteousness, literally like a supernatural invisible robe covering your life, every error, wrong, selfish, self-serving thing we've ever done is forgiven in a moment. This is the good news of Jesus. Right now, just raise your hand wherever you are. God, you see those hands, you see those hearts. And I thank you. We are forgiven forever. Amen.